So that's quite a lesson there in 2 Chronicles 32. Quite a lesson. Now, I asked a group of men who lived down in the Pasadena area. I said, I want you to think about this. I said, why has God abandoned three colleges, split the churches over and over again? And what were the sins? Because those men who came in, God sent them in. See, in a situation like that, God does not allow. Lots of times you hear, oh, God allows this, God allows that, God allows the other thing, right? Okay? No. God sent them in. Let's come back here to 1 Kings. Let me see if it's 1 Kings or 2 Kings here. I'll get it. 1 Kings. 1 Kings 11. Here's another lesson. Now look at how Solomon started out. He had everything given to him. God even mercifully, showing his grace, chose Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba. Okay? Not something. He was greater than any king. He had gold coming in like it was water. What did he do? Well, he ended up having 700 wives and 300 concubines. Ended up, since he was a temple builder, he built the altars and incense places. Here's the temple. There's a little valley right down here to the west. And up on the other hill is where he put all of these other altars for the other gods, and he even ended up worshiping the other gods. Okay? Because he got all lifted up with himself. I mean, any man that has that many wives and that much money turns away his heart from God, and you don't find any place he repented, right? He's got to have been lifted up in pride and vanity, right? So God sent him a warning. Wouldn't happen in his day. But here's what happened during his day. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 14, right after he said that he was going to tear away the kingdom. Okay? Here's what happened. Verse 14. I want you to notice how this was done. And it came to pass, the Lord stirred up an adversary against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was the king's seed in Edom. Sound like terror assault going on? And it came to pass, when David was in Edom, and Joab, commander of the army, had gone up to bury the slain after he had stricken every male in Edom, for that son remained, okay. For Joab remained there 6 months with all Israel until he had cut off all male in Edom. However, Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites from his father's servants with him, to go to Egypt. Repeat a history today? I mean, think about it. When Hadad was a little child. And they arose out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran and came to Egypt, to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave them a house, appointed food for him, and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so he gave him the sister of his own wife to be his wife, the sister of Tahpenes, the queen. And the sister of Tahpenes bore him, and so forth, and so on, and so on. Come down here, verse 21. And when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers, that Joab, the commander of the army, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, let me depart, that I may go to my own land. And Pharaoh said to him, But what have you lacked with me that, behold, you seek to go to your own land? He said, nothing. However, you shall certainly send me away. And God stirred up another adversary. See? Because Solomon didn't repent. And this was Rezon, the son of Eliada, who fled from his lord and so forth. And he gathered men to himself and became head over a marauding band after the slaughter by David. And they went to Damascus and dwelt there and reigned in Damascus. Now he was adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, besides the mischief which Hadad did, and he hated Israel and reigned over Syria. Does history repeat itself? Yes. Now, this is how God operates. So in asking this question of these men, I asked them what sins were committed that God had to respond this way and take everything away. And you go by the campus, it's still there. God also did something else that was very important. Remember the big plans they had for the campus and everything like that? Now, the campus out in Pasadena, they've never been able to develop it. Every plan, either they didn't get financing or it wasn't approved. The area over across the freeway where they had the Press Building and Imperial College, they built condominiums over there. But God is not letting one single person profit from that property. Why did he take it away? Why did he send the adversaries? Why were those who came in sneaking in? And why did they rise up and take over? Because of all the unrepented sin. And lo, if I could use a Bible phrase, there were many. Too much to even go into detail here. But just remember this, God does not do things like that for no cause. Just think if there were repentance, just think what could have happened with that kind of income and that kind of thing that they had at that time. See? But it gets down to the same thing. Even, Gideon and his army. He asked for an army. 32,000 came. God ended up using 300 so that all the glory would go to God. So that's the good side of the story when you come out from the other end of the punishment, you see. If we yield to God, God will use all of us in our individual lives and together collectively to do what God wants us to do. And I'm going to let the lesson of Hezekiah stay burned in my brain right next to Fred. Just talk. Don't get lifted up in heart. Because if all of that God gave us ended up being rejected by him because of sin, don't get lifted up and think you're important because God can use stones if he chooses, but he chooses to use human beings. Okay? Now I hope that the other churches of God will look at that and remember the lesson and remember the sin. Remember how the brethren were treated. And all because they didn't have the love of God the way they should have and did not have the love of the brethren the way that they should have. Okay. Now let's come to John 15. Let's see what Jesus told. Remember, this was given on the Passover night. This is talking about our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. This become very important for us to understand. And also, for those who have not had a Church of God experience, look at what has happened to the Church of England. It's gone. Rome conquered it. Look what's happened to the Episcopalian church. Split and shattered. Look what's happening to the Baptist churches. I even had a friend call me and say he saw the strangest thing the other day. One of his friends who was a Baptist came to him and he had the cross of the ashes on his forehead. And he said, "What's that?" "Oh," I said, "just came from church. We celebrated Lent." Why are those things happening? Because they're not repenting of their sins. See? When the Protestant church, the only thing they had to really change was understand the Sabbath. And God gave them how many hundreds of years to do that? But because they kept a lot of precepts of God and commandments of God, they were blessed. God used them to spread the word of God around the world. But now look at the state that they're in. And I would have to say their wealth and all their importance and everything that they have, that they have and had, was far more than anything any church of God ever had, right? Now the latest assault is coming against them. That's why we have the new book, "Lord, What Should I Do?" Because one of the things Randy asked me when we started, when he agreed to do the editing for the church at home, he said, "What's your target audience? You have to have a target audience." And I said, "All the disaffected Christians in Protestantville and Catholicism." There are 76 million that have left the Protestant churches. So this is not just a thing in the churches of God. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Let everyone that names the name of Christ," 2 Timothy 2:19, "depart from unrighteousness." And of course, the Protestants name the name of Christ, don't they? Yes, indeed. See, this shows God is no respecter of persons. And remember what Peter said. If judgment begins with the house of God and the righteous are saved with difficulty, what will the end be for the ungodly? So we're living right in those days. You know, when we first come into the church, you think, "Oh boy, you know, this is great. We're going to be alive when Jesus returns." Woo, we didn't understand a lot of things, did we, huh? So here's the key important thing. This is what is going to keep us faithful. This is what is going to keep us loving God. This is what is going to keep us loving each other in the way that he wants it to be, and he spoke it to the apostles on the Passover night. We read these very words on the Passover night. So let's read them again so we understand. Listen. Our relationship is individually with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Okay? No man in between. No structure to supersede that. With that, then we can draw close to God in loving him. We can yield to God and he can help us overcome. We can do the things that God wants us to do as he leads us to do them, and all the credit goes to God, because in him we live and move and have our being, you see. Everything we have physically and spiritually has come from God. We've been created for his will and his pleasure. And the more we yield to God, the more that we can grow in grace and knowledge, see? We don't know what lies ahead. There are terrible days that are going to be coming. I don't know if it's going to be bad as it currently is in the Middle East, but it's going to get bad. And if we are not tied strong to God the Father and Jesus Christ, then it may be much more difficult for us otherwise. This is why I've said, claim the promise of Psalm 91. All right? We need God's protection. We need the shadow of his wings to watch over us, see? Because there may come a day when 1,000 will fall at our left hand and 10,000 at our right hand. there's going to come a day when there's going to be plagues. Or they won't come near us. That's why we need to really stay right with God every single day, see? And here's what he said here, John 15. I am the true vine. And remember the vine that he planted that was Israel? You can read that in Isaiah 5. And he came to see what it was like, and it was a wild vine. But God couldn't do anything with it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. See, directly with the Father. We read in John 16:27 that Jesus said, pray to the Father in my name, for the Father himself loves you. Do we need to understand that? The church is the assembly of the called out ones, but each one of us as called out ones have to have our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And then when we assemble together, then it becomes an event of love and it becomes an event of spirit. You see? Sabbath services are to be a spiritual experience. You understand that? Whether you're at home or whether you're in a group, which is this. God puts his presence in the Sabbath day. We have God's Spirit in us, correct? The one who's doing the teaching and speaking is not a reward because you're a good speaker. Remember, Moses complained he couldn't speak. Well, God made him speak. Okay? Has to be the Spirit in the one who is teaching God's Spirit as well, teaching the Word of God. Because then we are together and God's presence here, God's Spirit in us, God's Word in front of us, and we are learning and growing from that so that this Sabbath can become a spiritual event in your life that draws you closer to God, helps you have more faith, gives you greater strength in the Lord. See, that's what Sabbath services are all about. See? My Father is the husbandman. He's working directly with us, see? That's how we start our prayers out, isn't it? Our Father. Isn't that right? Yes, indeed. Now notice what he does. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, or that becomes rotten and perverse. God is not going to be mocked by the world, nor those in his church. But he cleanses everyone that bears fruit in order that it may bear more fruit. So we have our trials and difficulties to overcome, right? God wants us to bear more fruit. And that fruit is based in love. And remember this, every year there's a harvest. Is that not true? That's why we go through the holy days every year, correct? Yes. You are already clean through the word which I have spoken. Now, I've given several sermons on washing of the water of the word. I'm going to give one more. I'm going to call it, Who Controls Your Mind? See? Because whatever controls your mind, runs in your mind, that's who you really are. Okay? Notice what he says here. And of course, God wants a clean heart through repentance. What did David say? Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. See? Now verse 4. Dwell in me. That means live in Christ. And I in you. See? Not on the outside knocking to get in, but inside producing fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but only if it remains in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you are dwelling in me. Brethren, this is the prayer we need to pray, not only for ourselves, but all the churches of God. Just think what would happen. All the different churches of God, all of us repent, all of us preach the truth, all of us be a witness to the world. Why, there would be so many of them out there today that the world can't come and get them all at once, right? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be great how great it is for brethren to dwell at peace? Yes, it would be. No, you can't do it. You can't bear fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, Jesus said of himself. You're the branches. The one who is dwelling in me and I in him bears much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. That is nothing spiritually. Now notice what happens. And think of it this way. Remember the parable? The landowner came and said, this fig tree over here hasn't been bearing any fruit for 3 years. Tear it out. So what did the groundskeeper say? Or the, what would you call a orchard man? What would you call him? I guess an orchard man. What did he say? He said, well, let me hoe it and dung it and see if it can bring forth fruit. And if it does, leave it. Okay? Now, there are a lot of us that need a lot of hoeing and dunging. Okay? So we need God's Spirit. And the hoeing is getting rid of all of the bad things, and the dunging is putting in all the good things, right? Okay. If anyone does not dwell in me, he's cast out as a branch. We've seen that happen. And is dried up. And we've seen that happen, haven't we? And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Hey, brethren, remember this. As long as there's life, there's still hope. So pray for the different ones that have, we'll use a term that even the Bible uses, backslid. Okay? That they can come back to God. They can. That's why Revelation 3 for the Laodiceans is there. They can't come back. If you dwell in me, now notice very carefully here what he's saying. If you dwell in me and my words dwell in you. Now that includes the whole Bible. See? This is why Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Exhort, rebuke, so forth. Okay? And my words dwell in you. That has to be done spiritually. That can only come by prayer and study and living God's way. You shall ask whatever you desire, and it shall come to pass for you. That's how we get our prayers answered, brethren. Now, some prayers bear a lot of repeating. All repetition is not vain repetition. As long as a prayer is not answered, you keep praying. And I can look back sometimes to prayers I've prayed has taken years, but God has answered them. Especially if you're dealing with other people. And you've said all you can say to them, and there's nothing more you can say except, God, I'm praying to you every day. Work out in their lives the things that need to be to bring them to you. See? And I've seen God do that. Some of those prayers have taken 8, 10, 12, 15 years. So don't give up on it, see? You shall ask whatever you desire, and it shall come to pass for you. Remember how many times he gave the promise here of that we, if we pray, we'll get answered prayers? All on the Passover night? Okay. Now notice verse 8. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And that's what we want to be. That's what we are. Now here's the quality of the love that we need to have. Now verse 9. This can only happen with God's Spirit. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Live in my love. That's got to be the key and important thing every day. That'll help you deal with the difficulties and problems that come along, you see. If you keep my commandments, you shall live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. Did Jesus have to go through trials and difficulties? Yes, he did. Did he always live in the love of God? Yes, he did. Likewise with us. How are we to keep the commandments? Now, if you haven't gone through the series, God's Grace and Commandment Keeping, you will see that the whole level of commandment keeping that God wants from us is a great deal more than just the letter of the law. If you keep my commandments, you shall live in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. These things I've spoken to you in order that my joy may dwell in you. You're not going to have a lot of outside joy because of the misery of the world, but you can have inner joy and inner peace because of the Spirit of God and the love of God. See? You can have that. Now, as I've covered in, washing of the water by the word, that's how Jesus sanctifies the church, by the way. If there are difficulties and problems that you still need to resolve, take them to God. Pray to him. Ask him to remove it from you. Repent of whatever it is. You don't want to have some little corner of your mind of something that's unrepented of, see? You can't have the love of God in you and hate other people. You've got to have that removed. Now, we can hate the sin, we can despise the behavior, but unless the person is committed to sin unto death, the unpardonable sin against the Holy Spirit, we're commanded to pray for that individual, right? Yes, we are. All of that is the love of God, see? All of that will bring joy inside, spiritual joy. Now he shows what this is to lead to, verse 12. This is my commandment that you love one another. That's what we have to do, see? And that means that if you're talking to them and you say, oh, well, let's get together, that'd be fine, and then you never show up. Oh, well, let's keep in contact, and you never call. See, being scattered, that's an important thing to keep in mind. See, because we can't get together every Sabbath. You know, here I come to Atlanta once a year. A lot of you have driven hundreds of miles to get here, see? So by all means, keep in communication with one another. If there are occasions you can get together, do so, but do so in a way of love. Do so in a way of joy. Do so in a way because you're brethren in Christ. Now, that's to say nothing of any business deals you may have with anyone. You know, remember, any business deal you may have, your yes better be yes and your no better be no. Let me tell you how important that is with God by using an example of the Old Testament. Remember when Joshua and the children of Israel were conquering the land? And the Gideonites, they left so they wouldn't be invaded by the Israelites. And they made sure that they wore the oldest, nastiest, you know, mildew-infested clothes and things like that, ragged. And they stayed out for a while. And then they came back and they were pretending that they were from a far country. And they said, where are you from? Oh, we're from a far country. We have very little left. We're very poor. We hardly get along here. Oh, please don't kill us like the others. So what happened? Joshua, whom God appointed, made a covenant with them that they would not be killed and they would be hewers of wood and drawers of water. Okay? Even though they may have been the enemy. Now they're in a different category. You make an agreement, your yes better be yes. So what happened during the days of Saul? He went out and he killed a whole lot of the Gideonites. And then God ordered vengeance against Saul's house because of doing so, because they were not to be touched. The covenant was made to be hewers of wood and drawers of water. Now, you might think that's a small, unimportant thing, you know. But that's why in dealing with each other, especially in business, it's not wrong to have business between yourselves, but it better be your yes be yes and your no be no, and none of the other things that go on in the world. Okay? Just to let you know. Okay? Now let's see how we're to do with the brethren. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he gave the example of how to do it. No one has greater love than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now that's something, isn't it? That's how we are to do for the brethren, see? That's what has to be in a matter of serving the brethren for any who are serving the brethren. Serve the brethren in love. Serve the brethren in truth. Teach them the right way of God. Now, that doesn't mean we have to become doormats and be run over by the enemy. No, indeed. See, but in dealing with each other, think of it this way. Do not deal with each other as you have to deal with an enemy, but deal with each other in love. Now, there are times we have to lay our lives down for someone else. Not in the way that Jesus did, but that may require time, that may require work, that may require some money, that may require helping them do something to their home or something like that. I mean, look at all of the tornadoes that have happened here recently and all the people that are suffering and what things are going through with the different ones. Well, God honors everyone who is out there helping his neighbor, helping them recover. God is pleased to see that, in spite of the fact that many of this may have been judgment upon them because of their sins against him. You see? That's how you lay your life down for one another. Now notice, not only does he call us friends, but notice what he says in verse 15, because it applies to our knowledge of the truth. No longer do I call you servants, because the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, because I've made known to you all the things that I've heard from my Father. Isn't that something? Do we know the plan of God? Yes. Does the world know the plan of God? No. Do we understand the things in the Bible because of God's Spirit? Yes. Does the world? No. See? We're the friends of Jesus Christ. We are the offspring of God the Father. We are called the children of God. And this is how we need to be treating each other, you see? Now notice verse 16. You yourselves did not choose me, but I have personally chosen you and ordained you that you go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Let's finish right here with verse 17. Okay. These things I command you, that you love one another. So let's see if we can help with God's Spirit accomplish this. If each one of us does it in our lives individually, and then we affect someone else one-to-one, and then they affect someone else one-to-one, then we can help bridge over and eliminate some of the problems and difficulties that have come up between the brethren. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.